a production of Whitfield Media Group. This is the fastest hour in radio, Racing Talk Radio, on Rock 103.7, your home for NASCAR. Now, live, here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome into the program. It is indeed time for Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. Sean Whitfield, Casey Orr. It is time to talk Darlington. And you know what? You're going to think you heard this show before because we're going to talk about Tyler Reddick getting a win. He gave us a couple weeks off, but bounces back after a slow 2 weeks to take his rightful place in victory lane. That makes four out of six races for all of you 23XI and 45 teams fans. Michael Jordan having an all-timer as a team owner right now. Man, just domination from that team. Started off a little rough, battle back, and get another win. Begging the question, have they stepped it up? Is this the new pinnacle of the sport? Is this just a team racing well, or is he now elevated to a whole new level? Well, we'll talk about that this hour. Plus points. We got standings. You got all that fun stuff. You know what we do? Get you ready for the next race coming up. It's all going to be this hour. It's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. Casey Orr here and alongside me. I would say alongside. I guess it depends on which way I'm facing. But across from me most of the time, none other than Sean Whitfield with Whitfield Media Group.
Good evening. Happy to be here. Of course, I want to welcome everybody to another edition of Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. And we got another outstanding hour of nothing but NASCAR talk.
Well, I wouldn't say nothing but NASCAR talk. We tend to take a few turns while we talk about the racetrack.
We have to do a little pregame before we get started.
We are going to end up talking about NASCAR and about Tyler Reddick's dominant run. But I tell you what, he's kind of making the first part of the season a little boring, Sean. I mean, he's just out there picking them up and putting them down. And I got to tell, I was thinking this the other day. You know, we've already talked about how we're seeing MJ. We're seeing him more in NASCAR than we have this 12 years of a team owner in NBA. He was kind of notoriously never around. Now he's kind of got what you would think is like a kind of a side gig for him. Almost like one of those rich people have a lot of money. I'll put some of it in a NASCAR team. No, he is actively involved, was actively involved in a very large lawsuit for the better part of last year. And now is not only at the track week in a week out, but is ending up in victory lane. You know, what's more fun for him, winning or winning out of spite? Because he was kind of legendarily pretty, I'll show you back in the day. Mm-hmm. But it has been something to see for 23-11 and Michael Jordan and Tyler Reddick, just this race team, just being dominant.
What I'm about to describe, I don't mean to take away from the fact that Michael Jordan looks at it and treats it as a business, because it is. However, Michael Jordan looks at his ownership of 23-11 as a lot of us would, as a hobby, as something we enjoy, something we have fun with. You know, like somebody would have a boat or have a late model race car, you know, racing dirt or whatever it may be, because the amount of money that he's invested doesn't affect him much at all. And as long as he is breaking even or showing some profit, he doesn't look at it as anything that he's too concerned with. You can just tell by the way he is at the racetrack that he's out there. It's like hanging out with my buddies. I'm having a big time. And oh yeah, it is all about winning, and whatever I do, I want to be winning.
You know, even during his basketball career, which, you know, you can make all the arguments you want, he is the best player or one of the best players of all time. He was notoriously very intense, would get into scuffles with teammates, like he expected perfection. You only really got to see smiling Michael Jordan in TV commercials on the golf course and now at the racetrack. So you do, it's like there is a true joy coming from this that, I felt like we didn't get to see a lot in his NBA life. So
I wonder if he thinks he's living his best life.
Who knows, man? Listen, to stare down one of the most, the largest privately held sports league in all of America. And basically, yeah, listen, the lawsuit was settled, but basically all would agree coming out on the better side of it. And then to turn around and have this kind of success, it does have to feel pretty good.
Do you happen to know how old Michael Jordan is by chance?
I am guessing Michael is in his 50s, maybe early 60s.
Yeah, I would assume that's probably a pretty good guess. I was just doing a quick search to try to confirm that. He is, 63 years old.
He's your age.
No, he's not my age.
Wait, what are you?
I'm not that old. What? To what?
How?
Wait. I'm 10 years old. Aren't you 47?
Yeah.
I'm 10 years older than you.
Well, you would have almost gone to high school with Michael Jordan.
No.
I mean, that's really close.
I wasn't even around when Michael Jordan was born February 17th, 1963. I wouldn't have expected that he was that old. I would have agreed with you. I was thinking early to mid 50s.
Late 50s, early 60s. Yeah, so I was,
I didn't expect him to be in his 60s.
What I hate, and this happened to me today, is I have to think, like, I remember when he was popular, I was in high school. How long ago was that? Then you go, I texted with a friend of mine today. I was listening to a comedy album that we used to listen to back in the day. It just kind of came out of nowhere in my mind. I'm like, man, like, I forgot about that. Well, Amazon Music, I hit a button and it starts and it's like I'm listening to it. Well, I look at when this thing came out. It was 1998. I'm saying that's 28 years ago. What in God's name
that
happened?
1998 doesn't sound like it's that long.
Almost 30 years.
That long ago, but when you say 28, certainly it changes the tone of how it sounds. Before we start diving into more NASCAR, how was the weekend?
It's pretty good, man. Got to play a little golf.
Do anything special?
Got to play a little golf. My wife and Evelyn.
You got permission?
They went to Mamma Mia downtown and watched a
Mamma Mia
Broadway show.
Okay.
Because we are a family of culture.
And you didn't go?
No. I missed out on that one. So
I thought you were a family of culture.
We are. I've got plenty. They need some. So they went to watch Mamma Mia. And then Sunday, God, kept looking for you and Kim at Mass and did not see you.
Yeah, we didn't make it. I thought you went to Mass on Saturdays.
We normally do, but they were at Mamma Mia. And so went to go eat after Mass, and then after that they were like, hey honey, run me over to DSW, the shoe store, right? Like, we have to get something for something that's coming up. It's like, all right, that's fine. Over an hour later, which I think in guy time is like 6 hours, and there's something, time stops when you walk into a shoe store.
And you were sitting in the car waiting?
No, I'm just sitting there on the bench, because I like to go in there and, like, I'll go to the clearance thing and just see if there's any shoes on clearance I might need. There were not. So that took 2 minutes. The rest of the time, I just went and found a shady spot. And pretty soon, I looked up. I'm like, my God, are we ever going home? So that part wasn't,
you know,
fun.
If you
the
had,
rest of it was fine.
If you didn't have EPB and you had YouTube TV, you could have sat there and watched either one of the NBA playoff games or NASCAR instead of just sitting there twiddling
probably,
your thumbs.
Probably could have watched some of the March Madness. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd have been smart.
And what time of the day was this?
This is about noon.
Yeah, so it was early.
Yeah,
so you could have watched some basketball.
And I was just,
see, that's what I do when I go shopping with my wife. I always have my phone nearby, and it's usually on a weekend, and I'm usually on a park bench somewhere with my Bluetooth headset on, watching some sort of game.
That's actually,
or race.
That's actually one of your better ideas, because I would probably could have just said, hey, I'll be outside, holler if you need me.
Yeah. And then that way I don't get upset when it takes an hour and a half, and let them do their thing. They're happy. I'm okay. And so yeah, it works. So see, you were sitting there, you got a little annoyed.
Well, I was on my phone just goofing off, looking at stuff. But after a while, it's like, oh,
well, you
my
are
gosh.
The social media kind of guy.
Not really. I was just like, oh, get me out of here. So other than that, it was a really good weekend.
So you got golf in.
How about you? Did you do anything?
You know, got some yard work in.
I figured.
Got some chores done around the house. Got some work done in the garage. You know, over the winter, I got my garage a little bit out of place. Let's see, what else did I do? Other than the gym, we went and looked at a couple of houses. You know, we've been shopping for a house for a while. Nothing that I liked. I did look at a pretty cool house, but it was with 9 acres. And the thing I loved about it is it had several garages. When I say several, it had three that was attached to the house, and then it had a separate garage area that had three other garages.
But you're not like a car guy. Like you would just fill it up with stuff.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, a guy's got to have a truck. Guy's got to have plenty of garages or garage space. And that was my most favorite part of the whole house.
I could keep some of my stuff in one of your garages.
Yeah. I mean, I could rent it out. So anyway, it was a good weekend. Weather was great. We had an outstanding weekend of weather. Today was a little bit chilly, but overall, you know, very blessed.
Yeah, we're in for a pretty decent little springtime until we're not. But yes, it's nice outside.
Before we head to break, tell everybody what you do each and every day. Do a little promo here.
Little plug for Quality Fence. Tis the season, Sean. Right now we've got our friends and family special. It really is. It's the biggest deal we do all year. 20% off. But I come to your house, talk to you about what kind of fence you want. Let's measure it. Let's take a look at some things. Go over. I got a bunch of pictures to show you. It's really cool. We keep a rolling list or rolling folder of always updated jobs we just completed. And let's go over it. And then, boom, let's get that backyard to keep your family in and all the bad people out.
And there's no fence job that's too big or too small?
No big. Yep.
Probably too
not
small.
Not too big. Actually, you know what? We're one of the few. We'll do repairs and we'll do small jobs. So just go to fence.net and book your appointment today.
All right. That sounds good. All right. As we continue talking NASCAR for 25 years here on Rock 103.7, I want to thank all of you out there for joining us today and making us a part of your Monday. We're here each and every Monday at 6 p.m. We got a lot of NASCAR straight ahead as we break down the weekend that was Darlington. We got all that and more right after the break. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalafin Road and I-75.
Hey, it's Blake Watson with Epic Realty. Spring is coming and housing inventory is up, so you have more choices for your next home in the Chattanooga and Northwest Georgia area. As your local realtor, I offer my experience, expertise, negotiation skills, and knowledge of Chattanooga real estate. I help you get the home you want and guide you through the process of selling and buying your house. Visit @homechattanooga.com or find me on Facebook or Instagram. Blake Watson with Epic Realty, 888-893-3537.
Save the date, Chattanooga. The Chattanooga Fitness Expo presented by Optimize You is coming July the 11th, 2026. Bodybuilding and fitness at its best. An event you don't want to miss. This year, we're moving the Nooga Dentistry stage from the Convention Center to the brand new Erlanger Park. Listen to the Chattanooga Fitness Download presented by Optimize You podcast for more information and online at ChattanoogaFitnessExpo.com.
When you have an appetite for Mexican food, I've got the place for you. Dos Bros Fresh Mexican Grill is your destination for fresh, delicious burritos, tacos, nachos, salads, and quesadillas. I have their grilled chicken bowl, and I choose each fresh ingredient just the way I like it. Go to Dos Bros Fresh Mexican Grill today, located at 2396 Lifestyle Way, Suite 114 in East Brainerd, just behind the Embassy Suites. For more information, visit Dos Bros online at dosbros.com. We're excited to announce and welcome Nuga Dentistry. Nuga Dentistry specializes in general dentistry, cosmetic dentistry, dental implants, veneers, endodontics, Invisalign, and dental emergencies. Trusted dental care, one great smile at a time. And now, we are officially broadcasting from the Nuga Dentistry studio. Find Nuga Dentistry online at NugaDentistry.com.
I'm Blake Watson. Join Sean Whitfield and me every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for Your Home Radio, presented by Blake Watson with Epic Realty on 98.1 The Lake, featuring a variety of topics all related to your home.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr each and every Monday getting you up to speed on all things in and around the garage area of our favorite sport, that's NASCAR. Today, going to talk about Tyler Reddick's big win, his fourth race out of six. You know what? If he had just messed up, we could be talking about Brad Keselowski with his first one in a while. That's a way more fun story to tell than Tyler Reddick continuing to dominate it. Does not make it any less impressive nonetheless. Just an absolute early season beatdown that Tyler Reddick and the 45 team is putting on the rest of the field. And of course, that being the sixth race of the year. And next, we turn our attention towards Martinsville. So, we just had Darlington. Now, let's go to a short track in Martinsville. Up, we're going to follow that up with another short track at Bristol Motor Speedway. So, Vinny's got, he's got a little temper problem. You've got 2 weeks coming up. Might see a little bump here and there. But that's coming up. Martinsville will be this Sunday, March 29th. And Bristol, after a week off, April 12th.
I was listening to many of the post-race interviews with drivers yesterday and heard some repeats today. And one of the things that I had forgotten about going into the Darlington weekend that I was reminded of that many drivers were saying, and that is the fact how mentally demanding and mentally fatigued drivers are when they finish racing at Darlington. How that track just wears you out mentally. And several of the drivers would even say they would cast their vote is that racetrack being the one that will fatigue you more mentally than anything. The track that kept coming up as far as the most physically demanding was what?
Dover. I would guess Dover on the concrete.
That was second.
Oh,
among most of the drivers that were asked that question, what do you think is number one?
Well, that was my guess for number one.
It's a good guess, and it's a close second.
God, so physically demanding.
Yes.
Have to be a road course, I guess?
No. It was Bristol.
Bristol? Well, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Just because it...
And there's a lot of similarities to both Bristol
hanging in there.
Dover. They're both concrete tracks. They're both, high banks. It could be a toss-up in the minds of some of the drivers.
It's just whether or not you like concrete tracks or not. It makes sense with Darlington being so tough, though, because in true NASCAR fashion, Sean, everywhere we go it's an oval, it's a tri-oval, it's that there's a pretty standard size and layout to a lot of these, but Darlington is unique into itself because when they started building it, they didn't want to mess up the guy's fishing pond, and here this was out in the middle of nowhere in Darlington, South Carolina. So that's where the Darlington stripe comes in. One corner is just a tug tighter than the rest. And mm-hmm. if you're not careful, it's pretty easy to slap your car up against it, AKA the Darlington stripe. So it does make sense that in every other track, you can get into a rhythm of turn one,
turn two, turn three, depending on it. But here you're always looking for where's that short one that's going to get me hung up. So that's interesting. You know, I you could probably say the same for Pocono, except it's so big. You've got plenty of time to kind of get ready for the upcoming turn. But Darlington's pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean, it's right up on you. And then Darlington, it's not a very wide racetrack. So there's not a lot of good opportunity to do a whole lot of passing. And of course, we see that at Bristol as well. But it is certainly one of those tracks that the drivers say, man, we are just mentally just beat up when we get done at Darlington. You made comment a moment ago about Brad Keselowski. Brad Keselowski is a driver that I've been pulling for.
We both have.
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that has got an unbelievable career in NASCAR. He led yesterday 142 laps. 142. Came in six. This is since his most recent his most recent win was 65 races ago at Darlington in May of 2024. So how cool would that have been to see him win at the track that he had last run at? Not only did Brad have a great day, but the entire team did of Roush Fenway, Keselowski Racing. Let's see here. Teammate Chris Buescher came in ninth. Ryan Preece, 13th.
RFK is silently putting together some strong runs.
You can even put them maybe. What do you think about this? Putting them as the solid number two Ford team? Ryan Blaney has done well. But as far as a entire team where all the drivers have ran well, I would say RFK is just slightly above Penske.
Their performance-wise, they're right there with him. It's really tough for me. It just doesn't sound right to put RFK next to Big Money and Penske, but you're right. The big thing for them is just being competitive. Last 2 years, there have been several times when, I think we've had the same conversation about Keselowski that we have about Kyle Busch. At what point do you just get tired of running where you're running and say enough is enough? But they've made some changes. They've made some headway.
Yeah.
And if I'm in the RFK stable, I've got to be feeling better about things going forward.
You know, there was some changes that took effect yesterday in the race in regards to new regulations with the race car. NASCAR teams had 12% more horsepower and 25% less downforce. That combination left many of the top drivers, especially Joey Logano, a little bit messed up on the racetrack. I mean, Joey Logano finished three laps down. There were some drivers that did well, and then there was some drivers that really took off with it well, and Tyler Reddick just continued to prove that he's got this car figured out. And this is something that I don't know if NASCAR will continue to run the type of setup for Darlington in the future. But I would say it was a pretty productive day for NASCAR doing that.
And, you know, I was sitting here thinking Tyler Reddick with four wins in six starts becomes the fastest guy to 300 points since we kind of the point system, or I guess since stage wins and those type of points became part of the equation. But we haven't seen a driver, and I'm going to pull this up during the break. This is reminiscent of the year that Kevin Harvick won nine races overall, still didn't win the championship, but every time we turned around, he had won another race. But I don't think he started four out of the first six. I mean, you know, it's funny to talk about, but Tyler Reddick's on pace to win more than half the races this year.
Yeah, I think the last time that any team did this was in 2021. So it's been a few years since we've seen any team do this type of success, winning four out of the first six. And Tyler Reddick in that number 45 team doesn't show any indication that they're going to slow down.
No, exactly. You know, and it's one thing to maybe start off hot, right? You found something no one else has. You're really fast out of the gate, blah, 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 blah. This was not a
He didn't start first and stay up there all day, Sean. They had problems early on, mm-hmm. corrected them. Crew got him out there, and he was able to race to the front and hold everybody off. This is a true performance win.
Yeah. Let's get into the results of the race at Darlington, Goodyear 400. And as we've been talking, Tyler Reddick got the win for team owner Michael Jordan in the number 45. Tyler Reddick is 30 years old. He achieved his 12th victory in 224 NASCAR Cup Series races. This is his fourth victory and fifth top 10 finish in 2026. His first victory and eighth top 10 finish in 14 races so far of his career at Darlington Raceway. Brad Keselowski came in second. He posted his 13th top 10 finish in 25 races at Darlington. It is his third top 10 finish in 2026. Ryan Blaney came in third. He posted his fifth top 10 finish in 19 races at Darlington. Carson Hocevar had an outstanding day, was up near the front, especially there at the end of the race, and started 16th and finished fourth. In fifth spot, Austin Cindric, sixth Ty Gibbs, seventh Daniel Suarez, eighth William Byron, ninth Chris Buescher, 10th Eric Jones.
Team co-owner Denny Hamlin finished in 11th, Chase Briscoe 12th. SVG top 15 place finish in 14th, Chase Elliott 15th, Ross Chastain 16th. Go down the line a little bit, Christopher Bell 19th, Kyle Busch 21st place run, Justin Allgaier 24th, Austin Dillon 25th. Let's see, AJ Allmendinger, the Dinger, finished 30th. And then, yes, you already mentioned a real bad day for Kyle Larson, who started 4th, finished 32nd. Joey Logano finished 33rd. Bubba Wallace, having a good season, started up front, finished 34th.
Looking at, an organization we don't talk very much about is RCR, Richard Childress Racing. Kyle Busch came in 21st. Austin Dillon came in 25th. I don't know if we're ever going to see any changes out of that organization.
Listen, we could have said the same thing about RFK Racing, but they have found something. I don't know if I have the same trust in Kyle Busch's team to do the same, but yeah, this is going on a very extended time where they not only, haven't won a race. That happens to some teams, haven't felt like they're even in the same class as everybody else.
It's almost a situation where it's difficult to watch Kyle Busch continue his career, because for so many years, he was one of the top guns. He was the guy that many people was continuing to share the opinion that he's one of the best NASCAR drivers to ever live, even above Dale Earnhardt and Jimmy Johnson and some of those names, because Kyle Busch has been able to be so successful in about anything you can put him in behind the wheel of. But since he has been in with RCR, it's really sad and disappointing to see, because that's going to be his legacy among so many, especially the young NASCAR fan generation, those that have not been around sport but a few years.
So he's finishing, his average this year so far is 17.9 finish. He's only led 88 laps so far this year. He's 21st in points, like you said. It doesn't seem like that's Kyle Busch, but that is. Now, he's only 40 years old. He is obviously going to be he's a future Hall of Famer. That's locked in. The dude knows how to – that's the thing. He knows how to win. He can win in just about anything you put him in. So you have to go, what exactly are you guys putting him in? And how are y'all so far off from where everybody else is? You just said RFK and the Ford team. Is Ford giving better support? Are they working a little better with Penske to share some information for RFK and maybe something the Chevrolet guys aren't doing? Or, let's face it, Hendrick Motorsports, that's the flagship operation of Chevrolet. They're not exactly having a banner season there as well. So are they not getting some information, or is it just it's a Chevy problem, and when you're the third team in line, it's tough to get any better?
Well, not to put all the blame necessarily on Kyle Busch, but think about this for just a moment. Hendrick Motorsports, Team Penske, and Joe Gibbs Racing. Those three teams combined has won 18 of the last 21 championships.
It's pretty good.
So you could also say it's unfortunate that Kyle Busch is going to have to spend the rest of his career until he retires from NASCAR with a team that just doesn't have the ability to achieve a championship. If he was with Penske, do you think it'd be a totally different scenario?
I don't know. It'd have to be better than this, because what we're seeing here, Sean, is really that they are quickly becoming just an also-ran. Like, oh, yeah, they were there as well. And you know what? You hate to say this, but if you're Kyle Busch, can you go to your teammate and go, hey, man, how are we going to rally? I mean, it's not like your teammate has had a ton of success and has wins at all these racetracks.
Yeah.
You're the guy they're supposed to be coming to. And we all know Kyle's probably so frustrated that he can't see straight. Or as he reached a part of his career, he's just going to cash them checks and keep driving.
And I would say that Richard Childress had to make a sizable investment to get a contract with Kyle when he did several years ago. I wonder how well that's working out as far as the business side for RCR. Are they able to get premium dollar on the sponsorship of the brands that's on Kyle's car to cover the amount that he is paying Kyle?
Kyle Busch is a Hall of Famer. He is still a name, but nobody wants to show up to the racetrack and watch their logo finish 21st.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
And when TV starts showing cars and when they start interviewing drivers, they're talking to the guys that are the top contenders. And you're right, that's what TV pays for, is to get that exposure. All right, when we come back, we will wrap up our conversation on Darlington and get into the drivers' point standings. We got all that and more, a lot more NASCAR straight ahead after the break. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
Did you miss last week's Vital Health Radio? Is there a guest you want to hear again? Or maybe because of your busy schedule, you only had time to listen to part of an episode? Well, we can solve all those problems with Vital Health Radio On Demand. Check out our website at vitalhealthradio.com. Click on past shows. Or go to your favorite podcast location, search Vital Health Radio Download. You'll find all of your past shows at your convenience. Then click on the subscribe button for all future shows. We're making life better for your busy lifestyle, a production of the Whitfield Media Group.
Vector Security can create you a home automation solution that will give you the convenience and peace of mind of being able to control your security system, lights, locks, video, thermostat, and more, all from your Vector Security app.
Vector Security provides professional alarm and security system monitoring to ensure your home is well protected against all threats.
Vector Security has 24/7 expert security monitoring, lifetime satisfaction guarantee, complete home automation, and is 100% wireless.
Choose Vector Security. Find them online at vectorsecurity.com.
Listen up, Chattanooga. We've got a radio show that's just for you.
On the Move Radio on 98.1 The Lake each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. We're a radio show that's all about Chattanooga.
Join Sean Whitfield, Amy Morrow, and Barry Quarter as we discuss government, events, entertainment, lifestyle, and so much more.
For past shows, check out onthemoveradio.com or find us on all major podcast platforms. Just search On the Move Radio Download.
A production of the Whitfield Media Group.
Hey folks, this is Misty Bolt, otherwise known as Medicare Misty. Yes, I'm a real person, and yes, I help people answer real Medicare questions every day. 10,000 people are turning 65 daily. If you or your parents have questions, don't trust an 800 number, junk mail, or a national.com. Trust a real person that lives in your community and serves your community. Medicare Misty. Find out more about me and my team at MedicareMisty.com. MedicareMisty.com.
Not affiliated by or endorsed by any governmental agency. Plans depend on zip code. We may not have all plans. Go to Medicare.gov.
We're excited to announce and welcome Nuga Dentistry. Nuga Dentistry specializes in general dentistry, cosmetic dentistry, dental implants, veneers, endodontics, Invisalign, and dental emergencies. Trusted dental care, one great smile at a time. And now, we are officially broadcasting from the Nuga Dentistry studio. Find Nuga Dentistry online at NugaDentistry.com.
At Silverdale Baptist Church, we exist to lead people into an authentic relationship with Christ so they will worship God, grow in their faith, and then serve the Lord. Learn more about us and discover a campus and service time that fits you best at SilverdaleBC.com.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr each and every Monday getting you up to speed on all the NASCAR news and info you need to know. And right now, all you need to know when you're at the water cooler, if that's still a thing at work, you just go, man, that Tyler Reddick, he's something, huh? That's all you got to say. And then just let your NASCAR, oh, man, I tell you what, da-da-da-da. This guy's won four of the first six races. On pace to win over half of them. It's probably not going to happen, but you get the idea. Dominant performance by he and his team.
At the beginning of the program, you know, we were talking about Michael Jordan and his presence in the sport and all. Do you ever use ChatGPT?
No, but I have friends that do. I just refuse.
Why do you refuse?
Has anybody ever watched sci-fi at all?
No.
Do you not know what happens to humans when artificial intelligence finally takes hold? It never ends good for us. But yet, we're just so smart in thinking we can have a computer solve all of our problems.
Well, in your day-to-day business world, when and where is a computer not involved?
Oh, yeah.
It's a computer, involved in your scheduling.
A computer that I give all of my... I use it to put stuff in. I don't ask it questions and then take its advice. That's the weird part. Honestly, I mean, I think it's got its uses. The only use I would have for it would be to have fun and goof off and make funny pictures. A buddy of mine has it. When we get together, drink beer, that's kind of all we do. And I'm thinking I would waste so much time on this stupid thing.
I've started using ChatGPT on a regular basis. I started, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. I kept having friends and people that, you know, I did work with in business comment about it. And I thought, well, there must be something to it because I keep hearing this everywhere I go. And I just did a quick search on ChatGPT and basically asked the question, has Michael Jordan been beneficial to NASCAR's TV ratings? And it comes back and shares, I won't read it all, but I'll share some of the key points. It says that typically NASCAR fans tune in to watch NASCAR for the drivers and the drivers that are winning in rivalries along with race storylines. Typically NASCAR fans don't pay attention to team owners as far as that's their main purpose of tuning in. It goes on to say his presence at the racetrack has raised NASCAR's mainstream profile and media attention. Big wins by the team have brought more celebrity buzz and crossover sports interests, especially with NBA fans are paying a lot more attention to NASCAR. He has helped attract
sponsors and new audiences, especially through drivers like Bubba Wallace. Interesting. All that certainly makes sense.
That's what ChatGPT just told you.
Yes. Yes, it is. In a abbreviated way here. I'm sure that he's certainly been extremely beneficial to reeling in sponsors.
I think he gets talked about, but I don't think people are tuning in to watch, you know.
Oh, I agree.
The team owner. I just think it's more like a cool, fun story.
But there's, I've got several friends that are big Michael Jordan fans, and they used to could care less about NASCAR.
Well,
and now they're paying attention to it.
I do think it will benefit 2311 Racing because of the sale of merch and people paying attention to that stuff. But I don't think NASCAR and the overall TV ratings are going to have any effect whatsoever.
Yeah. So it says here, final the comment, the bottom line is yes, indirectly, more attention, cultural relevance, and sponsorship appeal, but no evidence as far as consistent boost in TV ratings.
Yeah, so no evidence. There you go. But, oh, thank you, computer.
But what does AI know?
Thank you, computer.
As you would
talking
say.
Talking to me like you're some sort of human.
What does ChatGPT
do you remember, I don't know, there's a movie called Terminator, Sean. Do you remember those movies?
I do.
It had Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He lived so long ago.
He lifts weights. You probably like him.
Yeah.
It's about
the machines. Me and Arnold are buds.
Machines turning on mankind. And it's one of a million movies or books like that. It never works out.
I figured you was all into this AI.
Us, you know, I think it is useful in some aspects, but I think it's being relied on way too much.
You know, our buddy Terry uses AI big time.
And I get on to him all the time. When he sends me a script, I can tell when AI wrote it. I'm like, Terry, you're better than this. Quit.
You can tell?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's just very, all the details are there, but there's no feel.
It's going to get to where that there's going to be a lot of jobs replaced by.
Music. They've got, I think the very first AI pop star had like a top 10 charting hit on Spotify, whatever the heck that means. But literally, you tell ChatGPT or one of them, write a song about, boom, write some music for, boom. And then they put it all in there and out comes sounds just like something you'd hear. It's just not a real person.
I would love to talk to some of the senior management of some of the big teams in NASCAR to see how AI is being incorporated into what NASCARs are doing. And have they been able to incorporate AI to be more beneficial in performance on the racetrack?
I think it's really good for simulations, and I think it's supposed to be really good for research, because you can say, all right, ChatGPT, let's do this, and it can perform that function a gajillion times, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like it for that. I don't like it for some of the other things, like where we're just trying to put all of our eggs in that basket. But AI for the military, I mean, you remember that there's an AI company and our administration are getting into it right now, because the AI company says, I don't want our technology to be used for autonomous warfare. Like, there needs to be a human being on the other side of the screen saying, shoot the bad guy, not the good guy. And yet we're just, you know, and I think that's right. There needs to be some morality to that of like, hey, that guy, but if Chet, you know, if the robot's just saying, hey, does his forehead look like this and his eyes look like that? You know, a mistake could be made, and I guess a human could too, but at least there's some thought of that. That kind of stuff to me gets scary.
And the thing about it is this is only getting started.
Oh, I know.
Wasn't it the early 2000s when the internet came along?
You'd have to ask Al Gore. No, it was 90. So we had the internet in 97. No, before that, early 90s. Because I remember.
Are you sure?
Well, maybe not in Chickamauga. But I remember being in middle school or early high school and logging on to the internet to do stuff for papers. I remember having to figure out how you cite a website on your bibliography for your paper, because there was no way to do it. Like, there wasn't a correct form because it was so new.
When I was in the oil business, one of the companies that we were a distributor for was Shell Oil Company. And I remember we'd always have an annual convention at some resort, and it would last for several days. And I remember being at a couple of years in a row conventions,
and attending seminars on creating a website for your business and hearing other distributors across the country that was sort of the innovators of establishing a website for their business.
Oh man, when websites first came out, all the names were so terrible. People, you know,
and back then I remember it seemed so foreign to be able to comprehend why we need a website and how does it work and what's this going to do for the future of our business. And then you fast forward 25 or more years later, and you wonder how you ever were able to go through life without websites and the internet.
You know, I remember it every time you think it's not going to change, something changes again. It's kind of like NASCAR. Every year there's something new and we think, well, this will never happen. But then that thing happens. When phones started becoming the main way, you know, like when you first had internet on your phone, it was ridiculous. It took forever. You really couldn't do anything. No websites were formatted to it. And you're like, that's dumb. No one's ever going to use that. Well, now, Sean, searching on your phone, and I never thought this would happen, has by far and away eclipsed getting on your laptop and doing anything. People do everything on here. Websites are designed for this. And now you can get on your laptop and go to a website and you're like, oh, that doesn't look very good. It's because it's formatted for mobile, or, you know, they have to format them different. I was laughing because there are people that will say, well, you know, to purchase something big, I'm going to sit down on my laptop and not do it on my phone. And I feel the same way. Like, it's important. It's serious. It needs a computer involved.
Yeah.
Phone can't be that
a lot. I'm always telling my wife,
there's a generation. It doesn't matter. It's right here. You can do whatever you want right here in your phone. I can buy a car right now on my phone. Never talk to a human. They run credit and probably deliver it to me tomorrow. I mean, it's just crazy that those kind of decisions. House, we could do that. It's insane.
Yeah, you could fill out a mortgage loan application and do all that. Yeah, I mean, there's really not anything you can't do on your phone.
Yeah,
anymore. So you're right about that. All right, it is time for us to take a break. We come back, we will run down the driver standings and more. As we've got more NASCAR talk straight ahead. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalafin Road and I-75.
Hey folks, this is Misty Bolt, otherwise known as Medicare Misty. Yes, I'm a real person, and yes, I help people answer real Medicare questions every day. 10,000 people are turning 65 daily. If you or your parents have questions, don't trust an 800 number, junk mail, or a national.com. Trust a real person that lives in your community and serves your community. Medicare Misty. Find out more about me and my team at MedicareMisty.com. MedicareMisty.com.
Not affiliated by or endorsed by any governmental agency. Plans depend on zip code. We may not have all plans. Go to Medicare.gov.
Go to your favorite podcast platform and search Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You.
Join Sean Whitfield, Matt Davis, and Darren Johnson for a podcast about fitness, health, and bodybuilding.
We feature the best in fitness and bodybuilding right here in Chattanooga.
You can expect workout advice and fitness tips from two of the best fitness and bodybuilding trainers in Chattanooga.
Many great guests and inspiring conversations.
A lot of laughs and entertainment to go along with it.
Subscribe and follow Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You, today.
We're excited to announce and welcome Nuga Dentistry. Nuga Dentistry specializes in general dentistry, cosmetic dentistry, dental implants, veneers, endodontics, Invisalign, and dental emergencies. Trusted dental care, one great smile at a time. And now, we are officially broadcasting from the Nuga Dentistry studio. Find Nuga Dentistry online at NugaDentistry.com.
Hey, it's Blake Watson with Epic Realty. Spring is coming and housing inventory is up, so you have more choices for your next home in the Chattanooga and Northwest Georgia area. As your local realtor, I offer my experience, expertise, negotiation skills, and knowledge of Chattanooga real estate. I help you get the home you want and guide you through the process of selling and buying your house. Visit @homechattanooga.com or find me on Facebook or Instagram. Blake Watson with Epic Realty, 888-893-3537.
Save the date, Chattanooga. The Chattanooga Fitness Expo presented by Optimize U is coming July the 11th, 2026. Bodybuilding and fitness at its best. An event you don't want to miss. This year, we're moving the Nooga Dentistry stage from the Convention Center to the brand new Erlanger Park. Listen to the Chattanooga Fitness Download presented by Optimize U podcast for more information and online at ChattanoogaFitnessExpo.com.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. Casey Orr, Sean Whitfield. We're just doing what we do, talking NASCAR each and every Monday at 6 o'clock. Today, catching you up on the race from Darlington. Tyler Reddick wins again, 4 out of 6. Heck of a start to the year for the 45 team. Next race coming up, Martinsville. Can he go for number 5 out of 7? Or will, you know what, the short track, the old paperclip, as they like to call it, get the better of him? Sean, we were talking about just how good his season started off, the fact that he's won 4 of his first 6. You know, we haven't seen a season like this, and this is even starting out better than the last time when Kevin Harvick back in 2020 won 9 races. Now, he did not win the national championship. You can tell I watched basketball this weekend. he did not win the NASCAR championship this year, but it was, just an amazing season. I got curious thinking about it, and I was looking back at the stats. In 2020, Kevin Harvick was only the second driver since 1978 to lead the series in basically all major statistical categories. He had the most wins, 9, the most top fives, 20, top tens, 27, most laps completed, laps led by over 300. His average finish was 7.3. That is insanely good for a 36-race season. He was running at the end of every single race. And then he, of course, won the most points. But he had over 100 more points than Denny Hamlin or Chase Elliott. Those were the other two that had great years that year. But he had 9 wins that year. Then Denny Hamlin had 7. And then Chase Elliott had 5. So 21 wins of the 36 were done by 3 people.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. But this season has got 2020 Kevin Harvick vibes written all over it. Now, the question will be, we always have a team start off hot and fall off. You always have a team that doesn't start off very good and shows back up. And then you have some teams that are consistently good and consistently bad. It's safe to say, starting off good, fine. Is this, he's not going to keep up winning 4 out of 6 races pace, but is this going to be a 9, 10, 11 win year where he's challenged for the championship? Or does he slow down at the end or, completely fall off? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch, but he has certainly started the season out in a way that we haven't seen in years.
Or not only could he get more wins, which is likely, how many more wins are we going to see out of Toyota? Because I think that Toyota overall, this could be their best year ever.
Oh, they're certainly starting off that way.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. So,
and then when's the first time we're going to see a Chevrolet in victory lane?
They're going to take the year off.
We've only seen one Ford so far. It feels a little bit weird to not have Hendricks, at least with a win. And we're going into the 7th race of the season.
So I told you Kevin Harvick in 2020 was only the second driver since 1978 to lead all the series in all major categories. Who was the driver in 1978 that did the same thing? 1987, I'm sorry. It happened, second driver since 78 when they were taking, they started recording all these. The last time it happened was in 1987. Who did that?
I don't know.
1987.
Don't know. Rusty Wallace.
By God, Sean, the number three. Senior.
So Dale Earnhardt.
11 wins, 21 top fives, 24 top tens. But gosh. what was Senior's average finish in 1987?
I don't know. I was a kid.
5.9. When your average finish is 5.9, that's a pretty good year.
Back in the glory days, for sure.
So, listen, wait, in 87, was that GM Goodrich, or was he still Wrangler?
No, he was in the Goodrich car.
By 87 he was?
Yeah,
well, you don't remember. You were a kid, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, let's get to the results, driver's standings after the race at Darlington. In first spot, Tyler Reddick is no question. He is out with a landslide of 95 points ahead of second-place driver Ryan Blaney. Third, Bubba Wallace, the two teammates from 2311, are 1-3. Team owner Denny Hamlin's right behind him in fourth, and Chase Elliott is the first Hendrick driver in fifth spot.
His teammate William Byron, sixth, followed by Chris Buescher, Christopher Bell, Brad Keselowski in a top 10. He's in ninth. Kyle Larson in the 10th spot. Ty Gibbs having a strong season, he's in 11th spot. Ryan Preece, 12th. Carson Hocevar, the rookies, in 13th. Suarez, 14th. SVG still hanging in the top 16, but barely. He's 15th. And Joey Logano, 16th.
Let's quickly get into some news in the world of NASCAR. Justin Allgaier ran the race for the number 48 car of Alex Bowman, and it looks like that Justin Allgaier is not only going to run this weekend coming up, but he's going to run the next three races for Alex Bowman as he continues to deal with the lingering effects of vertigo.
Man, that would be tough to drive. Sean, in 1987, Senior was
hung up on 87. What is it about 87 right
Senior
now?
Senior was in the number three Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at that car, and that's back when it still had the old win on Sunday, drive on Monday vibes. Even though the Monte Carlo, I wouldn't call exactly.
Well, that went cool on car for many years of the era when Dale Earnhardt was around.
But yeah, that's pretty sharp. I mean, he looked, man, that dude. Makes me want to go watch that Amazon thing that was so good. The Amazon.
Oh yeah, the documentary.
God, listen,
on Dale Earnhardt.
People out there, if you're a senior fan or just an old classic NASCAR fan, the footage alone is so good.
Yeah, it is. Some other news in the world of NASCAR. Joe Gibbs Racing driver Denny Hamlin was answering some questions amongst the media this past Saturday, and he was asked about the future of his career. Currently, he has no plans to race beyond 2027. It was also asked, did he want to have a farewell tour? And he says, no, I'm good on that. So don't expect to have a farewell tour for Denny Hamlin. However, I expect some of the racetracks to do it anyway.
Yeah, listen, you don't get to choose that. That's just that is a good point. They choose it for you. That makes sense. Here's the thing. And here's what and you'll have to remind me. Rusty Wallace kind of went out on top. He wasn't on top, but he still went out.
He did it better than most any driver that I can think of.
He went out competitive. He was still competitive.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Denny Hamlin is still competitive.
Mm-hmm.
If he's still competitive at the end of 2027, and he still hasn't won his championship, or if he just won one and thinks he can come back for another, those plans are going to change.
Denny Hamlin's got 61 wins now in his career. He also made comment in that news conference that his goal as far as wins by the end of his career is 67. He was asked, he was asked, why did he choose that number? And he said he just had done some figuring as far as averages and at the pace he was at. And so his ultimate goal is 67 wins is where he wants to be or hopes to be when he comes to his last race in 2027.
Okay. So. I mean, I'm all for it.
And just think, when Denny Hamlin hangs it up, it's going to be a little weird watching a NASCAR race and he's not a part of it.
We've done it a bunch, Sean.
Oh, we have. We have.
We have retired the biggest names out there, and some could say they still haven't been replaced. But Denny is still that link that was – he raced with all those guys.
Yeah. Very true. All right. Well, that's going to about do it for us today. And, of course, we are headed to Martinsville. You can catch that on FS1. That's going to be coming up this weekend, and it's going to be happening at 3:30 p.m. on Sunday. I like those Sunday afternoon race start times. It works out well with my schedule.
That way you can come in from the yard work and sit down and watch.
Well, I usually start off the first part of the race listening to MRN or PRN, and by the end of the race, I'll catch the last 20 laps on TV, or I will come back in and watch a lot of it. I'll rewind, or I'll start the DVR, because I DVR every race. So,
oh, I know. You don't
catch it on the old DVR.
You don't do anything real time.
Yeah. Of things, but there's nothing like a good DVR.
You don't watch anything real time.
I'd say probably 90% or more of my TV viewing is off the DVR. It just works out better for my schedule. If I had the kind of schedule you've got where I was home all the time,
oh, that's it.
You know, I wouldn't need a DVR. Kind of busy schedule I've got where I don't get home until late evening, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Tell you what. I even run an appointment. Hey, fence.net, we're available to run appointments on Saturdays.
I've done that
the last few weeks.
Not if it's a weekend, Mrs. Orr don't give you permission.
Well, yeah, we have to check with her.
Yeah. So before Casey can approve or get approval, he's got to ask permission to come check out your fence.
Pretty standard, yeah.
All right, sir, any final words?
Nope. Have a great week. Let's do it again next week.
All right, we'll be back here next Monday, 6 p.m. on Chattanooga's Rock Station, Rock 103.7, to keep you up to date with all the NASCAR news on and off the racetrack. I want to thank all of you out there for joining us and making us a part of your Monday. Don't forget, if you've missed any portion of today's broadcast, you can find us tomorrow under past shows at our website. Just go to racingtalkradio.com or go to your favorite podcast platform and search Racing Talk Radio Download. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield, and have a great week.
This has been the fastest hour in radio, Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7, your home for NASCAR. Join Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield each Monday at 6 p.m. on Rock 103.7. Check out our website and for past shows, racingtalkradio.com. This has been a production of the Whitfield Media Group.
From the Randy Boner Smith Studio. This is WRXR-FM Walden, Chattanooga. Rock 103.7. Always live on the free Odyssey app.